Suzanne, the lights.
I'm fixing my face.
Oh, shit. Not you, too. What, is everybody here on drugs or something? You know, you're a sweet-looking babe, Suzanne, but you and your friend Ange are just a little too weirdo for me.
I can't seem to get it right.
No thanks, honey. I'm not that type of guy. Good night now. I'm going home.
You are home, Sal.
Uh-uh. This dirty dive don't spell home to me. I live in a nice house, you know, with plastic slipcovers on the furniture. Enjoy your lipstick, doll face. Good night.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, dying time's here.
No, it's fine. I set my phone down to grab a beer, but
there you go. No. This starting the episode right now, and I want to say this: the last time we talked about 1987, this conversation degenerated to the point where Tim just got drunk and started yelling titles of movies out. I don't want to do that again, Tim. you might have to put a cork in it in this episode.
This is a repeat of a show you guys have had before.
Yeah, you were on it. Ladies and gentlemen, out of print, Dan.
First off, I want to say thanks, guys, and it's come to my attention, and I feel like I should congratulate you that you've probably had this podcast for about 10 years now, right? Maybe a little more.
Oh, what, 11 probably, right, Tim?
Yeah, no one's listening, so it doesn't matter.
I'll tell you this: I know we were doing the podcast. I got one of those Facebook. You put this up 10 years ago, and it was the remember Invisible Priest?
The what?
Did Tim die?
No, I'm here. What are you talking
about? Never mind.
Invisible Priest?
Invisible Priest. Remember Invisible Priest joke, Tim?
No.
You will remember it when I send it to you. But that was set 10 years ago on a show we were doing with Steve. So I think, probably 11 years. We're old, dude, and still nobody knows.
All right, well, this wasn't a real congratulations. What it actually was me thinking, the last time I was on this goddamn show, I was still with my other fucking fiance, so thanks a lot for not having me on for 10 fucking years.
Dan, don't worry. I think the four people that live in the basement that listen to the show just heard that episode last month.
Dan, yeah, it's not a big. No one listens to this.
You might have more listeners if you kept Out of Print Dan on. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe
we're sporting zero Rondo Awards over here.
That's terrible. You guys,
it's a goddamn tragedy, man. It's a fucking bullshit system we lived in. But out of print, Dan is here because tonight, I don't know. I told you, I am ripping off. I started listening to this podcast called Screen Drafts. And what they do is they'll take like a genre or a subgenre or like top 10 werewolf movies, and then they NBA style draft them with vetoes and stuff, and it turns into a pretty good, funny, you could get fucked over kind of game to try to make the best list possible, or what you think the best list possible is.
And so should I have like a pen and a paper here just to see what my team actually ends up on?
Sure. I'll explain it later, but it's going to be fun. Because when I, and also, you know, I think 1987 was the best year in movies history, period.
87's a great year, but, I mean, you guys are all about fucking Spookies. And wasn't Spookies 86?
86, 85, 87. I think
it wasn't released until 88, supposedly.
So it depends on how you look at it.
Yeah, speaking of Spookies, I went last night. There's a really cool fucking pizza joint that is, it looks like Cinema Wasteland exploded inside this pizza joint.
Yeah, you were talking to me from it at like 2 in the morning or something.
Yeah, we were watching, they showed The Shining and had a pizza buffet, and their pizza's awesome. I was talking to the owner about maybe showing Spookies. Because he was like, I've never heard of that. What is this? And I said, Oh, sir, do you like movies that make no goddamn sense at all? Do you like monsters? And he's like, yes, I like both those things. And I said, here is your Citizen Kane, sir. Go home, watch it. It's on YouTube. And I guess it's not. He actually was telling me it was like $17.50 a ticket, and that got you buffet and drinks in the movie, which is pretty fucking awesome. And he was like, I paid $75 to, like, show The Shining on DVD in public.
Wow.
I mean, Shining is a pretty huge title. Spookies has got to be like, what, $1.25?
I don't think you need to pay anybody. Just show it. No one's going to know.
I think we still own that movie, don't we, Tim?
Which movie?
Spookies.
I'm sure.
We own that. We laid claim to that a long fucking time ago.
Yes,
that's ours.
Yes.
I mean, Vinegar's not going to dispute that, considering how much you guys have talked about it and hyped it up over these years. So
I don't think they'll dispute it, because I'm not sure they actually own the rights.
I don't think they do. I really don't.
I don't think they
own half the movies that they distribute.
If they had the balls just to put that out because they don't know where the rights is, because no one knows where the rights is, good for them.
Well, I was going to say, I think that is half of their releases up until recently.
Right. I don't know.
So we make Blood Freak because we didn't know where the fuck the rights were. So.
Yeah. But I will say this. I know several of their things now. Yeah, they've actually, I believe they have the rights. But before that,
right. Because why did Jack Frost just suddenly disappear?
Yeah. Yeah. So it is one of those things, like, I heard stories, but I didn't have proof of it, so what can I say?
Tim, you know, I'll tell you.
I had a long conversation once with 42nd Street Pete about that, and he seemed to think that, yeah, there was some sort of mafia connection at the beginning of it. Now, 42nd Street Pete's a crazy dude, so.
Yeah.
But some of the things he said seemed to be, you know, consistent with what I thought of them, too, so. Maybe
yeah,
not
oh,
mafia
yeah, connection. I don't know, but I don't know. I don't know if would say mafia, but let's just say smart business sense in taking a chance, let's say.
Yeah.
Because there was, I mean, there's just some of the stuff that they were doing. It's like, yeah, well, I don't know if it's legit.
Irregardless of paying for rights to show something, we ain't going to give a nickel to Les Spookies, guys.
No, yeah, well, no, I never no. did.
Them fucking
Who were those guys? Where did they come from?
Tim
Where
killed them. I think literally like Tim pulled them in the alley and murdered them.
I didn't murder them. I just yelled at them.
He never came back.
I just yelled at them.
They released Lace Bouquets and then never showed up fucking again. So.
That's all I did was yell at them.
And you got a free DVD out of it.
Yes.
Yes, you did.
I'm not trying to be mean about it. I just yelled at him.
That was a Wasteland highlight.
Yeah, it was fucking wonderful.
Because I walked back over with the movie.
Yeah, you did. You're like, I went over to yell at them, and I got a copy of Lace Movies. I feel like the opposite happened of what you intended.
Oh, God.
Yes, it did, but I still got the movie.
Man,
I
miss,
yeah, right. Yeah.
I miss Wasteland so much. I fucking miss it.
I still
stand. Are you coming in April, you idiot?
I am coming in April. My spine is okay.
For now.
For now.
What's wrong with your spine before? I thought you just didn't have money before.
It broke.
Oh, did it?
Yeah, a little.
Oh, no, I can't keep up with your ailments, you old bastard.
I'm a fucking old man that's falling apart, dude.
I know.
I broke one of the little nubs off my spine. It's called spondylolisthesis. And I was...
That's what happens when you play with your nub too much.
It fucking hurt. Oh, my God. It was painful. I've never been injured, like, big time. And this put me on my ass for, like, 3 weeks. But I went and seen some physical therapists, and I think they were sorcerers. Because they had me running and stretching and putting electrodes on, and I feel fine now. Yes, I'm coming in April. I don't even know who's there, and I don't care.
It's Texas Chainsaw Massacre Reunion. It's actually a pretty good show.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's one of the conventions. Yeah. I don't care. Like, literally,
I don't fucking care either. I don't give a damn.
I'm showing up.
Yeah.
What are you watching, Tim Gross? Get right into it.
I didn't think I was going to watch much, and then real quick, I went, like, this weekend, I watched Girl House, which... if you've not watched this movie, do yourself a favor and track this down. It's a couple years old. I think it's 2014, 2015.
What is it, Girl House?
Girl House, yeah. Much better than what is being given credit for. Basically, it's a stalker that stalks webcam girls at a mansion.
Interesting. I found out about a movie that sounded really cool that sounds like this. It's called Candyland. It's about...
No. I have that on my to find it. And
listen to this setup, Tim. I think it's a slasher movie based on lot lizards at a truck stop.
Yeah.
And it's got a Baldwin brother in it.
I think me and Tim both watched Don't Fuck in the Woods 2.
Yes. I was going
to
get to that. I was going to say... Yeah, Girl House, watched the Blu-ray of Evil Aliens because there's a U.S. Blu-ray. I was kind of disappointed in the Blu-ray because I have a Region 2 DVD from like 10, 12 years ago, and there wasn't much difference in picture quality.
Really?
I picked up
that Blu-ray. I haven't had a chance to watch it yet.
Yeah, so this is also a U.S. Blu-ray, so I'm wondering, like, you know, didn't get the best... of the
You're
material.
Also talking about Fred Olin Ray, who is another goddamn Charles Band.
This is Jake West. Jake West, Evil Aliens from 06.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, because I always liked that movie. It's a Welsh kind of like Dead Alive with Aliens.
Oh.
Or Bad Taste, basically.
Yeah, I do that movie. All right, getting that confused.
Yeah, and just like not a lot of people talked about it. I still like it. I think it's one of the more fun movies of the past couple of decades.
Actually, that was one of the first movies I ever pirated.
Nice.
the early days of Out of Print, Dan.
Dude, you know what the very first movie I ever pirated was? It was The Monster Squad, back when you could not get that fucker anywhere.
Damn.
Yeah, and Night of the Creeps was the second. And this was talking like... pirating was you're burning it to a VCD and watching it on a Dreamcast. Yeah.
I mean, dude, I go back to like taking two VCRs and fucking going and buying them,
yeah,
burning them that way. But
I did that. Know. Yeah.
Uh huh.
Go ahead, Tim.
We were just talking the other day, me and Maurice, about one of the worst movies ever made. Do you guys remember Toys?
Yes.
Oh, the Robin Williams weirdo
with Robin
fucking
Williams
movie.
And LL Cool J.
Yeah.
Yes.
Terrible movie. But one of the tapes that I, for some reason, remember having back then was Toys, Leprechaun, and Dracula, which was like right when you could start getting shit off of pay-per-view. That was just a tape that I had.
Was it like the pay-per-view actually had to like wait for the time it started and call 5 minutes before?
Yes, sir.
Yes, I remember doing
that. And it was
that
all done in one night. Toys, Leprechaun, Dracula.
Yeah, I remember doing that.
So good time. I think my mom still has it over at her house. The copy.
Nice.
So, but Tim, what'd you think of Don't Fuck in the Woods 2?
I was going to get to that. I also watched Once Upon a Midnight Scary with Vincent Price, which was fun. I liked the little stories. Those were all pretty cool. Don't Fuck in the Woods 2, I thought it was much better in the first one. I thought it felt more structured. Like,
yep.
Hey, this isn't just people dying that are fucking in the woods. And it actually felt like it was going somewhere this time.
Well, they fucked in the woods, dude. They had to die.
Well, yeah, but they're, it just, if you're going to make a movie, make it have more to it. And this one seemed like they had, the characters were much more likable. Everything about this one felt more likable than the first one.
And it still builds off the first movie, which I thought was,
yes,
cool. But I wasn't a giant fan of the first movie. Everybody
no.
loved it, and I thought it was a throwaway for me.
Yes.
But yeah, I really like this one.
Yeah, and I also watched The Hoot Owl, which, yeah, kind of stay away from that, guys.
Yeah, I watched that a few weeks ago.
Yeah, and watched Black Eagle, one of Jean-Claude Van Damme's very first movies.
Is this any good? Because I've always been intrigued by this. I used to see it at the video store all the time and never rented it.
It is. It's literally one of Jean-Claude Van Damme's early films, if I believe it's correct. He filmed this about the same time as Bloodsport. It was just Bloodsport got out first.
Yeah.
And when Bloodsport came out, and because of how big that was going, like, everybody made him a hero, where in Black Eagle, he actually plays a villain. It's one of the few times he's a villain. And it actually works. And he has a very odd, let's just say, ending in the movie. Like, there is a big fight, but that's not how he dies.
Huh. I've always wondered why this never got out on, like, you know, Vinegar Syndrome's putting this out or some weird, you know, because it is kind of a weirdo.
Yeah, I've always wondered if there's some kind of rights issues.
Yeah. All right, everybody, look for a Black Eagle on our table next April.
I've got one that you need to, I'll tell you later. There's okay. one that you need to get that would sell, and it's amazing.
Okay.
I'll tell you later. But go ahead, Tim. I'm sorry.
No, that's what I've watched. That was what I watched.
Okay,
this
week. Well, I'll go, Dan. Dan, right. You need to get – this would be a bestseller for the Dan Boyd table at anywhere. A movie called The Bad Guys from 1986.
Okay.
It is. Hold on. I want to make sure that's – it's a wrestling movie.
You know
movie.
What? I made you a copy of that.
It's a wrestling –
for this wasteland. You didn't end up yes. showing up. So I still have that downstairs, but I didn't know what the hell it was.
It is. Let me – it's got some famous people in it. Yes, here okay. we go. The Bad Guys from 1986. It's about two cops that get fired. So they decide to become a tag team wrestling dudes, and it's got a bunch of wrestlers in there. Like, let me pull a slot Sergeant Slaughter, a lot of other dudes. Professor Tanaka is in there. a lot of like the West Coast dudes, Tim.
Okay.
And the two main guys are Adam Baldwin, Animal Mother, from Full Metal Jacket, and he never really did anything. His name was Mike Jolly, or oh god, let me see. I don't know what his name was, but he's not even on this fucking, what the fuck? He's not even on the cast on IMDb, but he was, if you've seen 3 o'clock High,
yeah.
he was the big yeah. football player the kid hires to beat up Buddy Ravel.
Yeah.
And they go and wrestle, and it's pretty good. It's like, you're a wrestling fan, you'll want to have this.
Okay.
It's pretty cool. It's on YouTube,
I have a DVD for you next time I see you, because yes. you asked me for that last year.
Yeah, so. My buddy Saxman has been looking forever. And then just
one... that was what it was, somebody else's.
Yeah, I was getting it from my buddy, and then it showed up on YouTube one day, and he freaked out, and he called me. He came over, and we watched it, and it was great, but I want a copy of it. Well, go ahead, Dan. What have you been watching? Did you check out the menu?
Actually, when this interview is over, or this podcast is over, that's what I'm going to do.
Prepare for hilarity, dude.
All right.
Best movie of the year so far.
It's been a kind of shitty week for me going through my grandmother's house and shit. So I didn't get to watch much, but I did watch Black Swarm and Swamp Devil today because I'm trying to get into some of the sci-fi channel. What the hell is it? The creature? What is it called?
Creature feature? Or
not the creature feature. The
animal attacks?
Yeah, whatever the hell those ones are.
Like genre?
Series. That's
are
what
you talking about like stuff that we would call Ed Debko's Dad Presents?
Yes. I know what you're saying. I forget the tagline of that, what they call them, but yeah,
Man-Eater series.
Yeah, Man-Eater. I always called them when animal attack series.
That's basically what it is. But yeah, earlier when Cinemageddon did their free leaps this year, I downloaded like every freaking Man-Eater series thing. So I'm working my way through those. So if you guys ever need something new to do for your show to torture yourselves with.
Oh, no.
Not bad, though, man. No, Black Swarm was real good.
I was going to say a lot of those I absolutely enjoyed.
Yeah, like there's bad CGI in a lot of them, but they're not bad movies.
No.
Bruce Dern was in the Swamp Devil shit, and like he really like put his all into that.
I could tell you I'm not remembering much of Swamp Devil, but I bet you I liked it, and yeah.
And I think a lot of these I've already seen, like, you know, years ago, but now that I have them all just sitting in a pile, I'm just watching them all again.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's probably been so many years since I've watched
exactly. I mean, that shit was airing on Sci-Fi in, like, the early days of them doing a...
Oh, yeah, because that was required viewing for me.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, fuck partying. Tim's upstairs watching a big screen TV of fucking sci-fi movies. Got no time for that shit. Tell me if this is a bad idea, Dan, speaking of going back and watching something. I recently got a copy of all the episodes of Monsters.
Yeah.
And there's not too many of them. I'm thinking about going...
Two seasons, I think.
Yeah, there's not... I think maybe 24, 25, 26 episodes, something like that.
Oh, no, there's way more than that, Kyle.
Is there? I've got them all on two DVDs. That doesn't seem like they could all
fit. No, absolutely not. That shit went on at least two seasons. It might have been three. You're probably looking at closer to 100 episodes.
Jesus. I didn't think it was that popular.
Yeah, it went on for a while. And you know, you're talking about back in the 80s, too, so it's longer seasons.
Yeah. I literally remember the pilot episode about the bed that eats people.
Yes.
That's the only one I remember from Monsters.
Why are there so many damn movies about beds eating people?
That's true.
The sleeping car.
Yeah, the sleeping car, the bed that eats
people. Deathbed, the bed that eats people.
Deathbed, yeah.
Deathbed, the full moon version.
The one made for a quarter.
No, dude, the full moon version is actually a good movie.
Ever want to hear the words full moon and good movie used in the sentence around me, Dan. Come on, we all know
do
better.
Do you know who the two people you have on this podcast
right
now?
I know this. I'm just very bitter at Charles Band selling me a shitty copy of Dr. Mordred on Blu-ray that looks barely good enough for fucking...
Well, see, that was like watching that Evil Aliens Blu-ray, the U.S. one. I was hoping like, oh, okay, this is going to be a much bigger step up from my region 2, and I was like, no.
I've still got bad taste in my mouth from Necropolis 2.
Oh, God, let's not talk about
that. Fuck.
Jesus. But Full Moon's actually been knocking it out of the park lately with some of the things. That Miskatonic.
Yes, they have. They really have.
So, was the other one? Baby Oopsie, the first one I liked. I haven't seen the two seasons.
Yes, watch the other ones. Those are fun, too.
I could take Baby Oopsie over that fucking Megan any day. I've not seen Megan, but I am so sick to fucking death of getting advertised that movie.
The Baby Oopsie movies were good, but what I think is underrated is I didn't think was going to work is literally those the Reanimator Resonator, that trilogy they did. That was some good stuff.
They're really good.
Because what made that work, and I think this goes with William Butler. William Butler has been involved in the past several years, they've done really good stuff. And he's the catalyst behind that Resonator. And I felt like just what they did with how they did it is what makes that storyline work.
Absolutely.
If you paid attention.
Need
sequels they put out of that, but the first one, like, it had me within the first 10 minutes of it. I was, yeah.
I was still on the edge. I was kind of like, eh. And then it got to the end, and I was like, okay, you got me.
So what did they do? Did they cross over From Beyond in Reanimator or something?
Yes.
Sort of, no. Yeah.
I mean, yes, that makes 100%
sense. It's its own thing, but it yes, still kind of contribute to those movies in a way that works.
Yes, that is the best way to describe it, because they found a way to write a script that even when I was done watching the three movies, at the end, I could easily see this going somewhere else. I could see them doing a fourth or a fifth, and they left it open for that.
I think he's angling for a TV show.
I could see them doing it, but also, too, I could also see them bringing in Jeffrey Combs. And it was my only regret. They didn't bring in Jeffrey Combs into this.
Yeah, you kind of got to have that. Yeah.
But.
Yeah, that would have been cool.
Yeah, but if you watch it, there's a reason. I think that's why if they do another one, yeah, I would not be surprised we see Barbara Crampton and Jeffrey Combs in the next one.
Fucking cool to me.
That should be the ultimate end of the whole thing, but, you know, how much of those charging in Kinfolk Moon?
I think they could, but would they?
Like, yeah, right. Whole... That's the whole thing. It's more of a would they than a could they. They have the money, but are they willing to spend the money?
He's got
the cheapest man in the world.
Yeah, he's got a fucking mansion in Ohio to take care of now.
Right. No, he doesn't have the castle anymore. So.
No, he has to, I mean... God damn, he had to get some money somewhere. I think, Tim, he probably served a... Oh, fuck, his name was right on my tongue. The little guy that we love so much from Ghoulies 2. Phil Fondacaro.
Yeah, I just had... Phil Fondacaro.
Yeah, like, my fucking warped reality is Phil Fondacaro lives in Charles Band's castle over in fucking wherever, and he just, like, got served fucking eviction notices and... You know, it's just another revenue
stream. I like to think he's the guy who bought it. He just lives there, man.
Yeah, that would be cool. Castle Fondacaro. I'm down with that. Fucking, man. You know what, dude? I started watching that Willow TV series, and I'm going to finish it. I watched the first two episodes. But I was kind of like, what the fuck? There's no Phil Fondacaro? Fuck off. And I stopped watching it. God damn it. People think, you know... Peter Dinklage is this awesome fucking dude. Have you ever heard of Phil Fondacaro? He's wonderful. He's amazing.
Look, I feel like you got Willow going on. We should have all the midget actors coming in.
Oh yeah,
bring them all.
Let's just remake Under the Rainbow. I think we just got canceled in Tiny People Culture, Tim.
Yeah, I don't think we're even allowed to say midget.
No.
But anyhow, Kyle, you need to go watch it because it just how it works the storyline of that Resonator series and how they bring Herbert West into Herbert the fold West. Makes sense.
I love that. I love both of those movies. I think I might even, you know what? Yeah, I think I do. I like From Beyond more than Reanimator, so I'd be down with this. I might throw it on later tonight.
Oh, yeah, it's great. And what's great is the first movie, I think, is like 70 minutes, 75.
Yeah, I knew they weren't long.
Yeah, none of them were else are welcome, and that's pretty cool, too. I mean,
yeah, I was going to say, the second one's
always
like
been good for that.
49, and then the third one's like 60.
Look, I want to get off this Charles Band thing on a positive.
Yeah.
At least the man knows hour and a half movies are fucking – that's what this you should shoot for. I'm sick of these fucking 2.5 hour, you know, shit that doesn't need to be 2.5 hours long. Come the fuck on.
Are you guys ready for Bo is Afraid?
Oh, no, no. I watched that trailer and I was like, I can already smell that guy sniffing his own fucking
parts
from
here. It's 4.5 hours long.
No, fuck, nope.
You just lost me.
No, no thank you.
Yeah, that's the new fucking, what is it, Ari Aster? Is that his fucking stupid?
Yeah.
It's 4.5 hours. I'm not exaggerating. That's how long this fucking
off
movie
the
is.
Telephone pole and 20 minutes in, and we'll all be still questioning. Okay, why where's the cops?
Yeah, yeah. I hope there's a scene in there where the cops actually arrest that fucking kid from Hereditary.
I mean, think about it. Ari Aster, 4.5 hours. Joaquin Phoenix. I don't think there could be any more pretentious garbage than that. Like, those three things right there.
Yeah, that's a perfect fucking storm of pretentious.
It is a trifecta of pretentiousness. No, the only way you can make that more pretentious is if I was drinking a fucking, you know, hazy IPA while I was fucking watching it.
And you had both your pinkies extended, yeah. 100%. Maybe throw what's-her-face that you don't like that I love.
Tilda Swinton?
Yes. Throw
fuck
her
Tilda
in there.
Swinton. Fuck you, Kyle.
I love her. She's great in everything.
She's not great in anything.
She's wonderful in Snowpiercer, in everything. I love that woman.
I hate her face. She looks like a robot.
She does. Here's what I watched since we're talking
about. Yeah, because you need to get through what you watched.
Go ahead, Dan.
We need to know, like, what are we doing? What's even the rules of tonight?
I will explain in a little bit. I will explain.
Because you didn't even send me a list. I just went and did my own list.
I sent you the same list I sent Dan.
No, you didn't.
I did too.
That list? I found stuff that wasn't even on that list.
Okay, good. Well, then good.
A bunch of shit that we didn't even get to look at? Fuck.
It was the most extensive, you know, complete list of movies from 1987 I could find.
I found a lot of good stuff.
So yeah.
I'm happy with it.
Let's see. I watched Tilda Swinton joint Hail Caesar on Netflix. Coen Brothers that I haven't seen, and it's actually pretty good. It's getting to that time of year, Tim. Every year I have to watch the Pirates movies, and every year I have to watch the Lord of the Rings movies. So one day I watched all the extended cuts of the Lord of the Rings trilogy, and I got to tell you, that movie is... I don't think time's going to like that movie. I think it's going to be a shocker situation we got. It's kind of looking a little crusty. I still love him, though. Tim, we didn't last week. Did we talk about Yule Log?
I mentioned it quickly that I watched it.
Oh, Dan told me to watch it. I was like,
dude, that might be my movie of the year I watched it, I guess it was the end of last year. So that might be my movie of the year, man.
It's got everything. It's got a murder log. It's got incestuous hillbilly dudes, aliens.
Aliens for really no reason. I don't know where the aliens even fucking came from.
My favorite part was the arbitrary kind of fifth dimensional man that lived in the elevator fireplace.
Yep, yep.
That guy was cool. I loved it. It's just that weird Adult Swim shit I love. Tim, you really need to watch Last Night in Soho because it's amazing. Have you seen that yet?
It's been one of those movies, like, I'll sit there and be like, oh, I should watch that, and then all of a sudden I'm like, what's the movie I shouldn't be watching right now? Oh, what Amityville movie is that? Awesome, I'm watching that.
Tim needs a person to live with him that's like quality
just
control
to direct him to movies that aren't Amityville
he needs like a hotline. Where you know, in one hand Tim will have Last Night in Soho, in the other hand he has like Amityville Clown House. And then he's like, I don't know what to watch. And then you call this phone number, and they will tell you, don't watch Amityville Clown House, Tim. Or they will just suggest, you know, you really, Amityville, do you really need to be the one guy on Earth to watch all those movies? And Tim Gross would say yes.
Yes, he should. There's got to be one, Kyle. And why shouldn't it be Tim?
This is why I love Tim. He's the human bullet shield.
Literally, I was having this conversation this week, which Dan doesn't know. I was telling him about Sawyer Massacre. The filmmaker contacted me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He wanted to go over the review. And he's like, I'm not here to change the review. And I was like, good. Because it's like, then you understood what I said in my first sentence. I'm not here to shit on your movie because I know there's fans of this. But I just plainly said to him, I was like, dude, apparently you had some kind of resources. Why wouldn't you go and do something else?
Yeah.
And his biggest thing was he's a huge fan of the series. He never liked either of the prequels and wanted to do something and get it out of the system. And I was like, you see, I was like, that I could understand. This is like, good for you. That's awesome. We had a very civil email conversation.
It's good to find those actual humans out there.
Yeah, like we went back and forth, and I think we're now friends because of it. It's just like
you're gonna be next Texas Chainsaw Massacre fan film.
Yeah, because he's like he's bringing up like these points, and I was like, okay, and like I was firing back, and I was just like, dude, you got to see it from my my side of things. I was like, you're doing a prequel. It's like you've painted yourself in a corner, whether you want to admit it or not. It's like because it has to end at a certain point.
That's true.
That makes sense. And it's like, but if you're doing this because you know you're going to do other things and this was something you wanted to get out of your system, then I'd rather see you do this. Get this out of your system. Establish contacts with whether it's actors, locations, things like that. Get it out of your system so while you're going on to your next few projects, you're not sitting there like, oh, yeah, I should have made that Texas Chainsaw Massacre prequel fan film. Like, but – the dude was cool. I give him credit. Him and I went back and forth, and it was nice.
What I would say about the whole thing, though, Tim, like, okay, fine. He saw the Texas Chainsaw Massacre prequels. He didn't like the way that any of them went, and he wanted to do his own thing. Maybe when you saw those two Texas Chainsaw Massacre prequels, rather than doing your own thing, just say, oh, this doesn't need to be done.
Yeah. That's what I was trying to explain to him. That's how I – like what I got from it.
Right.
So
it's not something that ever needs to be. I mean, going back to like Rob Zombie's Halloween, it just doesn't need to be done. We don't need that.
No. Even though I like those movies, you're right.
Same here. I don't have a problem of, I hate part two, but I don't have a problem with them, but it just doesn't need to be there.
Yeah.
If it ever happened, it wouldn't make a difference in my life. So anyway,
good point. Speaking of Chainsaw Massacre, I'm not a big – I love 2 and 3, and that's probably where it ends with me.
Yeah.
I got to say this, and I want to know your guy. Part 2, that's the best of the series. Is that – I think it's the best. I think it's the best. I mean, history is going to tell me I'm full of shit, and yeah, like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the original, is a groundbreaking fucking movie.
Yeah.
But – God damn it, I can't get into a horror movie that's 100% horror. Like, and no funny at all. Like, you gotta at least have 1%. But part two, and also, I was ruined. That franchise, I got ruined. Chainsaw Massacre was just a movie I could not find around here until I was probably like 15.
What, the original?
Yeah, you weren't getting it. We did not have it in my town anywhere, but we had two. And I had watched two so much that I thought that was what, you know, the first one was going to be, and no, it's not.
It's a tough argument, because I see what you're saying, because two kind of, it's got that Evil Dead kind of feel, where you're right, there's like those, that element of gore and horror, and it's done perfectly.
Yeah.
So I can't even put it, or say like, yeah, that one's better or that one's worse than part one, because part one is so fucking visceral. It's like, there's no other movie like that. It makes you feel fucking dirty watching it.
Uh-huh.
Like you're watching something like, you know, murders actually happening on screen. So I can't even really compare the two. And I love them both. So.
Yeah. And I'm a big fan of when, like, somebody's going to do a sequel to, like, a legendary movie, and then they realize, oh, well, I just have to spoof it because I can't top it. Like, it always works. Gremlins 2... Evil Dead 2, arguably Fright Night 2. I know everybody will tell me I'm wrong there, but fuck you.
No, fuck that. I love Fright Night 2.
Yes. Mm. Yes.
I like it. I don't love it because the first one's still just gold.
I mean, the first one is like a perfect movie, dude. And I don't like vampire movies, so that's really saying something. But I fucking love it. It's not better than Fright Night 1, but no. I love Fright Night 2.
I love it. I think it works way better when Peter Vincent knows there's vampires and Charlie is like, no, there's not. I think it works better that way. I don't know why. And plus, it's like the most 80s movie ever. You have like this weird Boy George vampire roller derby monster that's fucking great. A werewolf shows up for whatever the fuck reason, and it's played by John Rhys, whatever the fuck that guy
is.
It's not John Rhys. It's John Rhys.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, that was the dude in the 80s, if you wanted to play a werewolf.
I was going to say, because John Rhys Davies is the dude from The Unnamable and Indiana Jones.
Yeah, Sulla.
Stuff like that.
Yeah, so...
John Cries.
Yes. Uncle Rico.
Yes.
Yes, because he's also the werewolf in the Monster Squad.
Yeah, he was the guy you called when you wanted an 80s werewolf.
Yes.
What else did I watch? Oh, this was fun. Last night, after we watched The Shining... girlfriend came over and she was like, I don't know what to watch, and I was like, I know what to watch. I wanted to watch a couple double features of like when Tom Hanks was the funny everyman. So we watched The Money Pit, which is okay. It's all right. It's right in there in that mid 80s funny Tom Hanks, but I don't know how you guys feel about Joe Versus the Volcano, but I think that's a fucking classic movie. Almost no movie like that movie kind of shits the bed at the end. I don't really like the third act kind of sucks, but no movie.
Joe Versus the Volcano since like 1989.
Oh my god, watch the first hour of that movie before he gets on the island and he's just stuck in the dead end job and he's just fuck, can't stand it. It's the most like existential dread dripped movie you ever want to fucking see. And like, it's almost like a David Lynch movie with Tom Hanks in the middle of it. It's fucking weird. He's smacking people with like prosthetic arms and stuff. And the way they have the factory and his workplace like lit, there's even jokes in like that. It's just so goddamn good. And
dude, that movie he just made in Pittsburgh.
Otto?
The Mr. Otto or whatever the hell it is.
Grumpy Old Man, the movie? Yeah.
Yeah, basically. Courtney's, like, one of her good friends owns that Stangles Bakery that, like, they filmed most of the movie in and, like, took it over and fucking, like, redid the whole thing.
Oh, cool.
Which was kind of cool because they basically went in there and they were like, hey, we're going to shut your bakery down for a month so you won't be making any money, but we'll remodel the whole place.
Fair trade.
Uh-huh.
People... Yeah, man, was our buddy, famous actor, friend of Alec Baldwin, Chuck Connors, in the background somewhere?
No, he did not get to be in the background of this one. He, he didn't have a concussion, so.
Damn! Oh, what else?
Well, that, you know, maybe he did, because that was why he forgot to be there.
I think famous actor Chuck Connors is...
Dr. Chuck Connors.
...still concussion, he's fucked up his whole life, so...
Oh god. Well, like I said, I watched The Shining. I know we've talked too much about The Shining. And the last movie I watched is a movie that should suck out loud on paper. I watched that Real Steel robot boxing movie.
And that, why?
It's so good.
Really?
Everything about that movie should suck. Robot boxing sounds real dumb. It's basically Robot Rocky. Which sounds real dumb. It's got a kid in there that's easily like, oh my god, a kid actor can ruin a fucking movie like in a second. But and everything in the movie is really dumb, but the movie's got such a big heart that it works.
Kyle, you just predicted the future. Tom Martino just posted about Candyland.
Oh yeah? It just
like
it,
1 minute ago.
It's not surprising. It's just it's a.
Did that like just hit like streaming or something?
Yeah, it just.
I had heard about that months ago. It, like I said, it's been on my list of stuff that I was going to look for, but I kind of forgot about it, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
It's pretty good. And speaking of Real Steel, it's got the Hollywood equivalent of Tim Gross. Kevin Durant is in that movie, so.
Jesus.
Your Hollywood doppelganger's in there, Tim. It's good. It's got such a big heart that it's like, oh my god, I can't hate this. As dumb as it is, I fucking kind of love it. And that is all I watch, sirs.
I'm pretty sure when that movie came out, that was never, ever on my radar. It just seemed like one of those things I couldn't possibly get into.
Me too. But the movie is... It's one of those movies you got to give a chance, and at the end you'll be like, wow, I can't believe they pulled that off, and they fucking, it's way better than it has any right being. It's one of those movies.
All right, well, cool.
I mean, I'm sure.
So what do you guys think of Cinemarink?
Oh, fuck. I've heard too much about this being compared to We All Going to the World's Fair to give a shit.
Oh, man. It might be worse than We're All Going to the World's Fair.
I fucking hate that movie.
Every once in a while, like, this YouTube phenomenon generates a movie that I couldn't give two shits about.
Here's the thing about that. Like, now it's getting all this hype. And, like, everybody's like, oh, it's the scariest movie ever. It's the best movie ever, blah, blah, blah. I fucking saw that it just randomly popped up on, like, a pirate site months ago and just sounded cool. Like, two kids wake up and their parents are gone and all the windows and the doors in the house have disappeared. I'm like, that yep. sounds really fucking creepy. So I downloaded it then. And I couldn't even get through, like, the first half hour of it.
I heard you never see the kid's face.
No, you never do.
Yeah.
No, you don't. You don't the whole entire time.
And it's almost
so
like you,
fucking terrible.
Yeah, it's almost like you don't see. It was so dark. It's almost like you don't see anything I was hearing.
Pretty much. It's not just dark. It's like weird, like, fluorescent lighting. Like.
Oh, no thanks.
No. You want to talk about bad experimental film? That is the fucking epitome of it.
And everybody will be shitting all over themselves about it.
I know, and that's why I brought it up. And I'm sure you guys have brought it up on the show before. I don't really know, but, like, it's just constantly, like, now that it has, like, a wide release, which I don't even understand why it does, so many people have just been bringing it up that I'm seeing, and I can't fucking... Every single person who brings it up is like, this is great. I just want to be like, what are you, retarded? You never seen a good movie before? This is what you think. Good. So, well,
let me show you. Anybody, you should just keep a copy of Chainsaw 3 in your back pocket. Anytime somebody mentions Skinamarink, you just whip that right at their face.
I don't even need it in my back pocket. I have it on my arm.
Yeah, you just punch them. Just fucking punch them.
I have it on my arm at all times.
You could be like,
I've had a tattoo. But I will say, I don't hate that movie. My problem with that movie is it should have never been more than 15 minutes long.
That I can actually, I can get behind that.
It should have never been more than 15 minutes long. And my other problem with that film is now, yes, there is going to be a bunch of filmmakers that copy that film. And it's like, nah, it's already been done. Move on. Stop it.
It reminds me of when Paranormal Activity first came out.
Yeah.
That, you know, everybody copied that, which, you know, Paranormal Activity in and of itself is a copy of Blair Witch, but, like, everybody copied that after that, and it saturated the market with so many fucking terrible movies. Jesus Christ, it's gonna happen again. Oh, somebody just kill me.
I was telling John Cross the other day, man, all these movies that we're talking about, don't you remember when, like, all this shit was fun? Like, you'd go watch these movies because they were fun?
Yeah.
Like, the last time I saw a fun-ass movie in the theater was Overlord. Everything has to be so goddamn pretentious and based upon, like, some YouTube fucking goddamn creepypasta or some shit.
Yeah. A lot of this is Ari Oster's fault. Fuck that guy.
I'm on that page right now.
Well, also, too, it's a lot of the people that don't watch any horror movie on any type of regular basis. It's the Walking Dead of the zombie genre. It's not for us. It's for everybody else.
Yeah, true.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
That's actually a pretty good explanation.
Anyway.
I mean, that's how I see it.
Speaking of which, I'm not going to go into any news because I think this might be a long episode. But I want to know what...
Well, it can't be that long. I got to fucking go watch The Menu with my damn wife.
Yeah.
Well, it's not going to be...
Well, it takes... Dan,
we are the Ari Aster of podcasting over here. You know what you got into. Don't you have your Ray-Bans and your scarf on right now? Come on.
Yes. How did you know that?
Because... You know, Ari Aster, Ray-Ban, scarves, they kind of go together, right?
What if you have them on your wiener?
That also works.
I am actually drinking an IPA, so I guess I...
We are the most pretentious podcast. Why don't we have 90 rondos, Tim? I want to know what out of print Dan thinks about the new Evil Dead.
What the trailer to it?
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with it. Okay, here's what I thought about the new Evil Dead. Uh-huh. I thought the new Evil Dead was going to be a giant ripoff of Demons 2. And I was really looking forward to that.
Hey, Demons like, 2 just, is awesome.
I love Demons 2. But I thought that's what it was going to be. Even Evil Dead in a high rise. But now it's, I don't know, there's a cabin. They're doing stuff. And there seems to only be one woman possessed by a deadite. I don't know. It still doesn't look bad. I don't hate the remake either.
No.
So... So, I don't know. It could be fine. It could suck. I really can't tell from the trailer. I'll say that.
There is a cheese grater employed, Tim, and every time there I see that...
There is a fucking cheese grater employed, and I fucking cringed at that.
Every time I see that, I just think of New Jack. Every time, Tim, that fucking cheese grater. This fucking New Jack, they need to play that entrance music over that trailer.
Also, I was kind of they do the whole thing where the girl's like about to stab the guy in the eye with a needle, and I was like, you did that in the last fucking remake.
Yeah, I'm there. Yeah. It took me a while to get on board with the Evil Dead 2013, but it's
I love okay. fucking with John Cross because of how much he hates them.
I know. Yeah, me too. But yeah. I was talking to him about it, and I was like, the only thing that is a negative for me. With those two movies, and I haven't seen the new one. No one has yet.
Yeah, right.
But where's the fun? Like, the Evil Dead used to be fun. Like, there used to be some fun. This just looks like we're gonna fucking try to have the most bleak ass fucking. No, these people look like they're put through hell, which, you know, you could arguably say that about everybody in the Evil Dead, but. At least part one and two, like, especially two. Maybe I just want them to make Evil Dead 2 again. I think that's what it is.
Make Evil Dead 2 again.
Yeah. That's just...
And the series, I mean, don't forget the fucking series. The series was the same vein uh-huh. of fun. So.
It just looks like they took the premise and sucked all the fun out and kept all the gore. And which, okay, whatever. That's probably whatever.
True, but like I said, I don't hate the remake. And the remake was the same way. It was dead fucking serious. So, mm-hmm. you know, I'll still go see it.
It was just the remake was not going to be as memorable as everybody liked to make it out that it was at that time.
Right.
I'm kind of looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to that. I am going out on a limb. I am 100% about Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. I think that movie looks fucking great. I do. I think that movie looks fucking amazing. I was on board when I saw that trailer. But, let's get to the draft.
The trailer does look good, but the trailer to the last couple Indiana Jones movies, well, I guess there was only one, but yeah. It looked good too.
It did. But speaking of Indiana Jones, I think we got to give a shout out to Short Round, man. That fucker won the Golden Globe. Good for him.
Yeah.
Haven't seen that guy forever, and he comes back with a goddamn vengeance. Good for that dude. Anyway, let's get to the draft.
Okay.
Oh, we got questions. I'm sorry. We got to do questions.
We're doing a draft.
We got to do questions first, Tim.
See, I made a fucking list on what I thought. But okay.
I'll explain.
Because I wasn't really sure how this worked. So I just made a list of everything I loved.
I put mine in order and whatever.
Just read the questions, Tim.
Okay. Okay, first the question, Dave, this is under your page, Kyle. Your boy Jody, he posted a top 10. I'll start at number 10, Princess Bride. Number 9, The Monster Squad. 8 was Predator. 7, Hellraiser. 6, The Stepfather. 5, The Lost Boys. 4, Full Metal Jacket. 3, Bad Taste. 2, RoboCop. 1, Evil Dead 2.
I'll tell you what, one of those movies on that list made my list.
One?
Only one?
One. Only
Jesus,
one.
Then we need to have a conversation.
Only yes. one.
We're gonna. I feel like my draft is gonna be pretty easy.
I feel like like okay, sure.
All of them are fucking great movies, except for I don't have the love for Princess Bride. Everybody else does. I like it. It's but I do. I think you have to grow up with that movie, and I didn't.
Yeah.
What else we got, Tim? Is that it?
It's just I'm still getting over what we're supposed to be doing. Anyhow.
No one knows him.
I will explain.
He said something about a movie draft. I'm like, sure, I'll be on when I'm
talking. Patricia Stevens wants to know, what is your favorite slasher of 1987?
Oh, I don't...
Slasher.
Yeah, then they got into conversation, is the stepfather a slasher? Yeah, I think the stepfather is a slasher. Yes.
What is your favorite slasher of 1987?
First of all, I'm kicking Nightmare on Elm Street Part 3 off because I've never considered the Elm Street series as slasher movies.
It's not. That's a monster movie.
Yeah, it's like if you got supernatural stuff going on.
It's put in the slasher genre. I never really understood why. Yeah, it's a fucking great monster movie.
Yeah, it doesn't. It just something about it doesn't fit right. So I just kicked it off.
I'm going by my list. Slasher. Number 7 on my list, the Nail Gun Massacre.
Wait, Nail Gun Massacre was on there?
Yes, Nail Gun Massacre, even though it was made in 85, I read up on it. There was a lot of places that didn't get it until 1987. That was
right. I don't know if that's like going to qualify for the list.
Like that guy in Scattergories who's constantly like, oh yeah, it didn't come out.
No, I was going by where they had release dates, and it claimed that most of them claimed Nail Gun Massacre. Released 1987.
Well, I will put the rule on that if it played in the gross household in 1987 for the first time, that doesn't mean it was released in 1987.
Well, then if I can't have Nail Gun Massacre, then my next slasher, would you consider Blood Diner a slasher?
Ooh. No? No, that's... I wouldn't.
Okay, then I'm going to go to Return to Horror High.
There you go.
Return to Horror High definitely works. I would go with Silent Night, Deadly Night 2.
I have left that off my list, by the way.
I'm going to go with...
I don't love Silent Night, Deadly Night 2, but I love Silent Night, Deadly Night 1, and that's basically Silent Night, Deadly Night 2, right?
yeah,
that's,
basically.
That's a more cohesive argument than... Nail Gun Massacre was released in 1987.
Because that's when Tim saw it.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Yeah, I'm looking at the list, and there's just not much.
There's not a lot of slashers, no.
No, there's not. I'll go Slumber Party Massacre 2. That's what I'll say.
Oh, is that on the list? I missed that.
Yeah, that's an 87 joint.
All right. Yeah, that'll work.
That's really
Prom Night 2 was on that list, which
Hello Mary Lou,
actually,
yeah.
Prom Night 2 isn't really a slasher movie either. It's more of a supernatural.
Bloody
Prom
New
Night
Year.
Prom Night 1 is definitely a slasher.
Yeah, you got Bloody New Year.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Prom Night 2 is probably that's a tie. That's a tie between Slumber Party and Massacre 2 for me. Just because I watched that for the first time in the Tim Gross household.
Yep.
And I loved it.
Okay.
What did you watch for the first time?
Tim showed me Slumber Party Massacre 2 for the first time at his house.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah, it was wonderful. It was great.
Wow.
Tim was like, I'm going to bed, and I stayed up and watched it all. It was fucking amazing.
Yeah, Slumber Party Massacre 2 is a fucking hell of a movie.
Ready for the next question?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay, Jody commented on Patricia's question, and I think we were just talking about Patricia wanted to know, would Stepfather be considered a slasher?
I'm going to go on that and say no. I think Stepfather's more of a thriller. I mean, if you look back on Stepfather, it seems now more like something that you would see on, like Hallmark Channel or not Hallmark.
It's played like on there.
Yeah. So
that's one of the ones where if you consider it a slasher, I'm not going to argue with you. Yeah.
Okay. Well, Patricia next asks, what was your favorite holiday horror movie of 1987?
Well, there was really only one, right? Like, oh no.
Is it Silent Night, Deadly Night 2?
It's gotta be. It's gotta be, right? I'm looking through here. I'm going to find one.
I mean, that's the only one I came from the list you sent me, Kyle. That's the only one I came up with.
Yeah, that's the only one I'm seeing.
Bloody New Year is the only other one.
Yeah, what was the question?
Oh yeah, I mean, she didn't really say
favorite
what
horror holiday movie of 1987.
I'm gonna go with the closest. I'm gonna pick Lethal Weapon, even though it isn't a horror movie. It does take place at Christmas, so it fits 50% of that criteria for that question.
There you go.
And Patricia asked, favorite movie involving cannibals in 1987.
Was there one?
Blood Diner.
Sure.
Blood Diner. Sure. Yeah, that's it.
I'm going to go Project X because that had chimps in it, and a chimp ate a lady one time in real life. So. I'm going to call it that one.
God. I'm sticking with Tim, Blood Diner for sure.
Yeah.
I could also...
Wait, could you consider Bad Taste?
Really, I consider them more of an alien, over-the-top more than cannibals.
But they are humans, Tim.
They did eat humans, but they're not... They weren't humans.
True.
So. Yeah.
And you know, he's a Derek, and Derek never quits. okay, so is that it for the questions?
That is it for the questions.
Okay, so it's draft time. I'm up front, you know, I'm going to give credit to that Screen Drafts podcast. Totally ripping them off. I think it sounds like a great thing, a fun thing to do. And it gets us out of the, you know, three movies kind of fucking thing we do every week. It's good to shake shit up every once in a while. So this is how it goes. We're going to pick we're going to pick 18 movies. And, each of us is going to have two vetoes. So you're going to draft this like it's an NFL team. You want to have the best list possible. What you think the list of 1987 was. So say, for example, I pick Predator at number 18. And you say, and you know, you say, no way, there's no fucking way Predator is 18. It's got to be like 4, 3, or 1 or whatever. You could veto me, and then I have to pick a different movie. So there's a little element of strategy in here, and that's how we're going to do it. And
so, but we can have the same movie on the list then.
Yeah, just because I veto Predator doesn't mean it's off the list forever.
Okay.
You could and you know what? If I thought Predator would be number one and you picked it at 18, I could veto it to because I know you're going to pick it later and it'd be higher. See what I'm saying?
So it can be picked again.
Yes. Yeah. It's not, no movie. There's no way that any movie could be like X'd off the list.
Sorry. And on our list somewhere, we can all have the same movie. Because I wasn't sure if it was like, you know, an NFL draft kind of thing where, you know,
I mean,
pick the quarterback, but nobody else can.
Yeah. No, that's exactly. If I pick Predator and it gets on the list, nobody else can pick it because it's cemented in that spot. Does that make sense?
Nope, I'm totally confused, but whatever.
It's an NFL draft, Tim, and you know how the NFL draft works. I pick Baker Mayfield for two teams.
I don't care. I got 20 picks. I don't
20? You're only supposed to have six.
Well, if we're each going at a time here, I'm making sure I have enough picks, okay?
Damn, son.
Yeah, I got like 24 on this list here just to make sure.
Yeah, so we'll see. Yeah.
Okay.
I want to make sure, you know, maybe if you take – QB number one.
I gotcha.
I'm gonna go take the defensive end.
Okay. So and I've got a God damn it, Tim. I've got a random number generator here, and I'm gonna let Dan pick an. I'll go right now. I'll roll it. Okay. Pick a number between 1 and 7, Dan, or 1 and 10.
One,
I'm sorry.
7. 5.
Okay, Tim. Pick a number between 1 and 10.
2.
Okay, and I will pick 3. Dan, you have first draft. Tim, you have second pick. And I have the third pick. So it's eventually going to be like, I think knowing us, there's going to be a lot of crossover.
And how many picks are we going?
We're going 6 apiece. So 18.
Okay.
Dan.
So by the end of our list, we'll end up at 6.
What's that? No.
By the end of it.
No, the list will be 18.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. We just got 6 apiece.
This is officially how you don't win a Rondo.
Ripping other people's podcast formats off, yes.
I don't know, Tim. He told me about this, and it sounded like fun. So, you know.
It'll be fun. It's fun, Tim.
It's fun for us.
Tim, this is how you win Rondos.
The four people that are listening, we just lost two of them.
Tim, this is exactly how you win Rondos, because if it's one thing the internet loves, it's lists.
One of them was like, my God, I wasn't even born when Dan was on here.
10 years ago.
Oh, God. If we got any 10-year-old listeners, I want to talk to those people because they're doing something wrong in their life.
So I got first pick here?
You have first pick, sir. And, you know, number one is the best. Number eight, we're just going to make the list. Number one being the best movie of 1987.
Number one is the best movie of 1987. And I ask you this already, Kyle.
Yes.
It have to be horror movies.
No, it can
My
be
My actual favorite movie of all time is on this list. I'm going with Barfly.
Okay. Mm. Mm.
I went with all horror movies, but okay.
Well, of course you did. You're Tim Gross.
Yeah.
I did.
Have you guys ever seen Barfly, the story of Bukowski?
I have not.
Yeah.
I know. I've never heard anybody say anything bad about it. I know Demko loves
Mickey
it. It is
Mickey Rourke's
okay
finest fucking hour. Oh, my God. And you got what is fucking Sylvester Stallone's stupid brother?
Frank?
Yeah. It's got some of the best fucking one-liners you will ever hear in your entire life, including they're trying to like get the fuck out of a place, and it's Faye Dunaway taking Mickey Rourke out of somewhere, and he's like, babe, you can't take me anywhere. We'll end up going to prison. Those places got the kind of bars I can't stand.
That's a good one-liner. That's almost as good as I thought I was looking up my mother's douchebag, but that's in Ohio.
It's also got one of the greatest moments ever. Once again, Faye Dunaway, Mickey Rourke, and they both meet each other at the bar, and she looks at him and she's like, "Wait, hold on, let me get the line in my head. I'm kind of drunk now."
I knew it was going to degenerate. I know. Here we go.
Yep. No. Okay, so Mickey Rourke is talking to her, and he goes, I'm going to ask you the same fucking thing that people are always asking me. What do you do? And they both clink glasses, and she goes, I drink.
You know what,
Tim? So Barfly.
Okay, Barfly is at 18. Tim, would you like to veto this? I don't know if we mentioned we have two vetoes apiece.
If I'm going to veto this, just because I am horror... I'm gonna have to veto this just because I don't want to, but I feel like I have to, because if this is gonna be the number one of 1987.
No, this is 18.
This is 18? Yes. Oh, yeah. Then I don't care.
Going backwards.
Yeah.
No, you can have that.
Okay.
All right. I mean, it is my favorite movie. I'd probably put it as, well, no, it's not my number one. I'm looking at this fucking list right now. It's not even close. But it is my favorite regular movie that's not a horror movie on this list. So, anyway, next.
Yeah, you can have that.
Tim, you're up.
I would go, because I have a feeling Yins are not going to have half of what I got. Maybe Dan will have half. Kyle will not. Let's go with Street Trash.
A movie that I watched for the first time and I made it all the way through. This is a movie that broke my best friend Saxman. Broke him. Freaked him out. He could not finish this fucking movie. And I can't...
I love Street Trash so fucking much, I have a poster of it in my bathroom.
Mm. if we're only going to have six picks apiece... If I'm going to go with something that's a little low on my list, but I think actually had a very, very big impact in 1987, I'm going Street Trash.
You know what? Would you like to veto this, Dan? I can't.
No, I absolutely wouldn't. Street Trash is a fucking amazing movie.
Not the
I
biggest
would actually
fan of this
put
movie.
It higher on my list. So here's the thing, Kyle. Here's what I understand. All right, so Tim is putting that at number 18. So yeah. It's on my list, too. Can I put it later?
No,
or it's just
not
gone
when
for
it's,
me.
Yeah, it's done. When it's on the list, it's on the list.
Okay. Man, then we should all have way more fucking things that we, you know, had picked out.
See, that's where the strategy comes in. You can veto this to get it higher, Dan.
Well, I don't want to do that.
Okay. You don't have to.
I got plenty of other movies on the list, but I feel like we should all have had like 50 movies on, that we kind of picked out.
That's the fun. It's got to be the 18. We got to whittle this down to 18.
All right.
I can't veto Street Trash. It's not a movie that it's beloved by me. I like it. It is definitely fucking neon and gross, and I love that aesthetic about it. Nothing in this movie looks good. Like, everything looks like garbage in this movie, you know? Like, everything looks disgusting, and it's great. A man flushes himself down the toilet. A man explodes. And what other movie are they going to play penis with a fucking football, man? I mean, that alone cemented on the list at 17. I can't do it. I can't veto this, Tim.
Yeah, and the like I said, the thing in my bathroom is the guy flushing himself down the toilet.
There just you go. Because
I needed toilet-based horror shit to put in my bathroom.
Yeah, what is there? This and Ghoulies? That's about it.
Ghoulies,
right?
That's it. Those are the two brothers. That's pretty much it.
And this is infinitely better than Ghoulies.
Wait, what?
Street Trash is a better movie than Ghoulies.
Yes.
It is.
Okay.
Maybe not pick two, but...
I've got pick 16.
I was going to say, part two is wonderful.
Oh, part two is way better.
Oh, yeah, part two is the best.
Plus, you got Wasp singing Scream Until You Like It, so...
Yeah. You got Phil Fondacaro in his finest role.
Yes. Yes.
I got the 16th pick here, and I'm going with a movie that started a franchise, and I dare anybody to fucking prove me wrong. When Ernest P. Worrell sings the song about you can't tell I'm crying because it's raining and you don't shed a tear, you're an unhuman son of a bitch. So I am picking Ernest Goes to Camp.
I can't beat that at all. It's a fucking
phenomenal. I want to, but I'm being nice.
I knew it.
You're not an Ernest fan, Tim?
After the first movie, I was not into Ernest as much as everybody else is.
Oh, Ernest is wonderful.
But put it this way, I never disliked him, and I definitely enjoyed him in the movie Fast Food with Tracy Griffith.
Did you ever watch the original one, the Dr. Otto movie?
Oh, the Gloom Beam?
Yeah, Dr. Otto and the Mystery of the Gloom Beam.
It's some weird shit, Tim.
Dude. Tim, I think you'd actually like that one.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's pretty crazy.
He plays a villain where he has his own hand on top of his head through the whole fucking movie, just like grabbing his own head.
Jesus.
It's a good time.
Yeah. Dan, would anybody like to veto Ernest Goes to Camp? I think I heard no's all around.
No, absolutely not.
I was going to say, if you can't. I can't. When he sings that song about crying in the rain, I lose it. Like, I can't. That pulls at my heart so bad. It's just in this dumb kids movie, they have this powerful fucking emotional thing that can make me cry. And you got Lyle Alzado and John Vernon, for fuck's sake.
Oh, yeah. Lyle Alzado is in that, huh?
Yeah. He fights Ernest and loses to Ernest. God damn it. And there's Parachute and Snapping Turtles. That's how Ernest saves the day, Parachute and Snapping Turtles. So it's fucking wonderful. Tim or Dan, you've got the 15th pick. Go, sir.
All right, I'm gonna go with an old favorite from when I was a kid. I'm going with Creepshow 2. Creepshow 2. When I was a little kid, my mom loved that fucking movie, and when we first watched it before bed, she turned off the light and screamed at me, "Thanks for the ride, lady." And
That's the best.
And then shut the door and went to bed herself. So obviously not better than Creepshow 1, but I love Creepshow 2.
Tim, Creepshow 2?
I'm thinking.
You only have two vetoes, Tim. Yeah. I got a lot more on here that you're gonna like better.
I know, but I might have to veto Creepshow 2 just because as much as I like that's the hitchhiker in the raft. I just always felt like Creepshow 2 did not hold a candle to the first Creepshow movie.
Oh, man. So you're vetoing Creepshow at 8.
Yeah, I'm going to have to veto this one.
Dan, you got to pick something else, sir.
Wait to your next pick.
That's fine.
Yeah, you have to see, this is where the fun comes in. You got to pick another friend for 15, Dan.
All right, so I pick now then?
Yes. Okay. You have to replace it because Tim kicked it off the list.
All right, then. Let's go with...
But...
Oh, shit.
You can
go Monster Squad.
You can double fuck Tim later and put it, get it back on there in a lower spot.
I'll take Monster Squad. I would put it up higher on the list, but
I would certainly put it up higher on the list. But I don't know. It's not. Yeah, I probably would too. But no, I like the positioning. There's a lot of good stuff that came out this year. So yeah, I'm going with
Monster Squad. There is. It just I mean, if I'm talking, that is my number two movie of 1987.
Mm.
Damn.
You know what? I'm not going to veto this, but I am on the verge of getting a little sick to death of fucking Monster Squad. Not the movie.
Watch more movies.
No. God. Not the movie is fucking great, but it's got a cult of personality around it now that I just don't, I can't stand.
Well, that's
it's a whole different thing.
That's a different conversation.
Right? I am getting a little sick of that. But I can't veto it. Collective. It's a wonderful movie. It cemented. It's at 15. Tim, your pick, sir.
Since I do have a feeling at what you might pick eventually, Kyle, and what Dan might pick.
Well,
knowing
all three of us, I think I can pretty much guarantee what's going to be the two movies at the top.
All of us, right?
Yeah.
I'm going with Bad Taste.
Hmm.
I actually can't veto that one at this point on the list because I love Bad Taste, but it hasn't aged well for me. It's certainly not my favorite Peter Jackson film.
It's not my favorite Peter Jackson film either, but of 1987.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's the only Peter Jackson film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's wonderful.
You know what?
Hello?
I'm thinking really hard here, guys. I'm going to let this stay on the list. Not the biggest fan of this movie, but I like where it's at. You know, if this was like 3, I would get it out of there. Because I don't believe that it belongs in the 3 spot or something low like that. You know what I mean?
See, this is why Tim's vetoing of Creepshow, too. I'm all the way down at number 17.
He fucked it up,
no,
Tim.
I'm going to like number 1. My
so
favorite
what is
movie
your
of all
pick,
time
Kyle?
Is Creepshow 2.
No, you're. I can't veto Bad Taste, Tim. It's on.
No.
Okay.
So, it's up to me at 13. My pick. Oh, let's see. I got to get on my list because I wrote it down and it keeps turning off. My C6. This is almost a perfect place for this movie on the list, I believe. It's a yearly watch. It's got to be on there. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles has to be on this list. What'd you say, Dan?
I said, yeah. I actually probably would put it up higher, but...
Yeah. This was one, like, if it got on the list, it's fine. Like, if it was at 18... I just think it's a fucking classic, and it's got you don't get movies like this anymore. Like, if you made this movie today, Steve Martin would be an asshole character. And he is in this one, but he turns out to be good. He'd just be an asshole through the whole fucking movie. And we're never going to get a John Candy ever again. And anything that guy made around this time is just like fucking thumbs up. I love that dude so much, and yeah, it's in a perfect spot on the list, I believe. Would anybody like to veto Planes, Trains, and Automobiles?
No, I think I'm good.
No, I'm not into that movie as much as everybody else, but I can't deny it's a good movie.
It's just one of those ones.
Talk to Jamie sometime, it's the only movie that ever made him cry.
Hmm.
Has he seen Ernest Goes to Camp?
All right, so what is the list so far?
Okay, the list so far, Dan has... the number 18 spot at Barfly. Tim picked Street Trash. I picked Ernest Goes to Camp. Then Dan picked the Monster Squad. Tim picked Bad Taste. And number 13, I picked Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. And now we are back to you, Dan, for the number 12 spot.
Number 12. All right. Looking at here. Number 12, I'm going to go with... let's go with Nightmare on Elm Street 3. My favorite of the series.
I'll go with that, because I actually have that number 13 on my list.
That's interesting that it's that low on a Tim Gross list.
Yeah, well, it's that low. It's number 13 on my list.
I think I got a... I'm going to let this one stick. Because it is arguably, I think, the best one. And it cements what Freddy Krueger is. And I think they write it... I mean, gay subtext besides the point. Part 2 was a weird departure. Because, like, Freddy came into the real world and... It really kind of wasn't fun, like Freddy wasn't funny. This starts the train to where I don't give a fuck what anybody says. I love Elm Street 6, where I love the wisecracking Freddy, and this is where he first starts getting really Don Rickles-ish.
And exactly.
Part 6 is he's full Don Rickles, and I fucking love it. And the fucking effects in this movie are great, and Chuck Russell's a fucking genius. Anything he did, like, guy didn't do enough.
And Kincaid, let's just throw it out there with
Don Dokken, man. Got Dokken on the soundtrack.
Don Dokken, yeah. One of the fucking coolest things Tim ever gave me in my entire life. He gave me the fucking LP vinyl of Dream Warriors.
Fuck yeah.
Also, Tim does not know the words to Dream Warriors at all.
Nope. I just sing Dream Warriors the whole time at the table.
Oh, that was when you gave
me the fucking time. It's different. It's like,
we're
the Dream Warriors.
And that's all
we're
Tim knows.
We're gonna go downtown.
Anytime that any one of us or anybody we know starts singing some song at a convention, it's the wrong words. Joe didn't know. Joe was so drunk he didn't know Dio songs the one time. It was fucking
God.
Oh, God. Yeah, I can't veto Nightmare on Elm Street 3. Dan, you want to veto this?
It's Dan's pick.
Oh, I'm sorry, Tim.
Jesus Christ.
I'm sorry. I told you.
Dan, you still can't understand why we haven't won Rondos, right?
Oh, any Rondos? Nah, it's fine. No, I do not want to veto my own pick. I may have thought about putting it down a little bit lower, but as I'm looking at this, there's so many good fucking movies.
Okay,
so...
All right, who's next?
I got... Tim, it's your turn.
Okay, and I'm number 11. 11?
Number 11.
If we're going number 11, let's go Hellraiser.
Interesting. Dan?
I would put Hellraiser further down the list, but I know a lot of people wouldn't, so I'm actually okay with it.
I'm going to veto this.
Nope.
Okay.
Because I'm a vengeful bastard and I don't like Hellraiser. I don't think that first one's very good. That second one kicks its ass, dude. I'm vetoing Hellraiser, dude. It's off. I can't get on board with that first one, man. Second one just blows it out.
Dan, if you're kicking that off, I'm throwing down. Let me throw down then Blood Diner.
An infinitely better pick.
Yeah, that's fun.
I mean, you got a little Jimmy Hitler in that movie. That movie gives you everything.
I didn't even see Blood Diner on this goddamn list.
It's on there. It's 87.
Yeah, I totally missed that song. Or would have definitely made my list.
Yeah, it made my list, but it got kicked off. So you have...
No, I'm totally fine with Blood Diner in that particular position, actually. So,
I've got the 10 pick. So let me see here. I can't even write 10. Okay, so I think this is the part of my list, at least what I picked, is where the horror movies kick in. I could be wrong because my list is not pulled up because my phone sucks. It's not a horror movie, but it deserves to be on this list. I've got Raising Arizona at number 10 because it is the quintessential Nick Cage movie. It's funny as fuck. And if you watch that movie, Raising Arizona is filmed exactly like Evil Dead 2. It's got all the camera tricks. All that Sam Raimi shit is in this movie. And it's got the Coen stuff using John Goodman as just a guy that screams and yells and shit. You got booty shorts in this movie, Tim. Fucking what's his face? Oh, I can't think of his name. Who's booty shorts, Tim? His name's
William Forsythe.
Forsythe in there. It's got one of my favorite lines ever. I don't know. He had jammies on, had Yodas on him and shit. And Randall Tex Cobb. I'm picking Raising Arizona.
I'm going to go ahead and veto you, Kyle.
Oh, I you son of a bitch.
Everything you just said. I what? Think that movie's boring as shit. It's not funny.
What?
Don't like it at all. You're... Never have.
I don't know what the... I think Dan's
sorry.
Body snatch.
It doesn't do it for me.
Okay. I like the movie, but I'm with Dan on this.
Oh,
this
I
does
get
not
it.
Okay. On the list. In Ooh. A top 18 movies, no.
Oh, kicked off. Okay, so I have to pick a different one. Let's see.
I don't know why. It seems like something I should like. It always has, but I don't. Just never did anything for me.
Okay. So, Raising Arizona is off the list. I've got my next pick then. This was higher than Raising Arizona. I watch this movie all the time. One of the best villains ever. 3 o'clock High. It's got to be on this list. I still to this day believe that people don't know about 3 o'clock High. And it's the most accurate. Like, they don't... The high school looks like a fucking high school. The people in there act like high school kids, and it's a movie where everyone is in this fucking movie. Goddamn Horace Pinker's in this fucking movie, Tim. He's just a high school kid that actually...
Mitch Pledgey.
Yeah, seems like a high school kid. Buddy Ravel is a hard-ass fucking villain. That dude's fucking awesome, and it's got a great fight at the end. I'm picking 3 o'clock High.
I'm okay with 3 o'clock High.
Cool. Tim?
Yeah.
Oh, that's high up. I didn't think this one would make it.
So I'm what number are we on? 9, 10?
9.
Dan's okay. Got the number 9 pick.
So you're back to me. Yes. I'm going to go with number 9. I'm going to go with The Kindred.
Oh,
I'm good with that because it's number 10 on my list.
I have that on my list too. I love that fucking goopy ass movie.
Same, and I just watched the Blu-ray that was put out and fucking loved the way it looked. So.
Oh, dude, that's a whole. If you've seen that movie on VHS, you've never really seen that movie.
Right, and it's completely fresh in my mind, and I fucking absolutely loved it. Loved watching it again. Loved all the special features on it.
I was really on the fence about buying it because it is one of those expensive $40 steelbook.
Oh, it's not. Bare bones release now.
Cool.
It looks good, and you get all the special features.
Oh, awesome. I didn't.
$20 on Amazon.
Oh man, it's getting purchased then. I can't. This is one like exactly like 3 o'clock High, where like it's a classic that I feel like nobody's ever seen.
Exactly.
Like, no one talks about The Kindred, and it's fucking got goopy fucking effects, and the creature lives in a watermelon underneath a porch for some fucking reason.
It's completely fucking weird, and it should have been just as popular as like Reanimator at the time.
For sure.
But yeah, just never got there.
I am not vetoing this. I am completely happy with that. That is actually, you know what? That is a great place for that fucking movie on this list.
Yeah, exactly. It's just above the average of what we're doing.
Yeah, I mean, 87's a fucking hard-ass year to really put in order, because there's just fucking masterpiece after masterpiece. But, Tim, you've got the number eight spot.
Number eight spot, I am going to go with Predator.
Mm. I feel like when Predator comes up, I love that movie, but I don't like it as, like, I'm not a super fan of Predator. But I do feel like this is right where it should be, so I can't veto it.
I agree. It's a good spot. Actually, I am a big fan of Predator. I might have put it one or two spots lower, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I'm totally fine with number eight.
That's locked in there. Predator at number eight. Oh, it's my pick. I'm going with the hell of a fucking year for Arnold. I picked The Running Man. My favorite fucking Schwarzenegger movie of all time.
Wow, I didn't see The Running Man on the list.
It is 87, sir.
I left it off my list because I went all horror.
Such a Tim Gross thing to do. Would anybody...
I mean, but if I was including all movies, yeah, Running Man's like up there.
Yeah, I think I'm actually super. If anybody, Dan, would you like to veto this, Tim? Anybody?
I would not veto it. Running
no,
Man.
No, I have not.
I feel like I got this on higher than I thought I would. So
you got
I am
on
happy
the BH.
I got it. I got it. Hey, Christmas Tree.
I just absolutely missed it on the list. Or,
I mean,
yeah, would have been on mine, too.
The Running Man is the perfect Arnold movie. It's fucking goofy as all hell. And it's got the one-liners, the only bad... Like, even the fucking Family Feud guy, Richard Dyson, he almost steals the show from fucking Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Running Man is Total Recall before Total Recall happened.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah, it's that goofy action sci-fi shit that Arnold...
Well, I was going to say, yeah, Verhoeven made RoboCop and Total Recall.
Could you imagine living in a world where Paul Verhoeven made The Running Man and how awesome that would be?
Jesus Christ.
That would be almost the greatest movie of all time. Fucking love it. I'm glad it's here at six, because I was going to play it at my first pick, but...
Wasn't
Dan,
that seven?
What's that?
That was number seven.
That was number seven. You have the number six pick, Dan.
I got number six. All right. Number six. Actually, I'm going to go with RoboCop.
Whew. I love RoboCop.
Kind of sitting
no
in that same,
that.
You know, the last three picks.
I'm almost to the point, I might veto this because I think it needs to be higher.
Needs to be higher. Okay.
I'm going to save it. I've only got one veto. Six is good for RoboCop. If you said you had RoboCop at your number one, it'd be fine with me because it is fucking that goddamn good.
It's fucking RoboCop. Okay. So, little story here. I just got a Maniac Cop tattoo.
Mm.
So, the Maniac Cop tattoo, it's a close up of Maniac Cop's face, and at the bottom it has an ACAB stamp.
Oh, shit.
But my debate when I got the tattoo was it going to get Maniac Cop or RoboCop? And Jamie talked me out of RoboCop because he was like, RoboCop is the actual antithesis, you know, the thing that that proves the rule, because he always went against the cops.
This is true. He did.
So, yeah, Jamie talked me out of the RoboCop tattoo. The RoboCop tattoo might have actually been cooler.
Mm-hmm.
But this Maniac, it's awesome. I can't, I'd fucking send you guys pictures, but it's peeling so bad right now. It just looks terrible.
Oh, it's in the goopy stage.
Mm-hmm.
I hate that shit. That's when it really sucks.
Yeah, I was going to say, my creature tattoo did that. That was the most any of them ever did that.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and this is all done in blacks and grays. So, like, that's the worst as far as, like, peeling goes. So.
Yeah, that was the worst I've ever had it.
So, once it's all done, she hasn't done the ACAB stamp yet, but. When it all started, I was like, man, I want to get a fucking ACAB tattoo, but should it be RoboCop or Maniac Cop or Psycho Cop? I don't know.
Psycho Cop?
Yeah, there's Psycho Cop.
No. You should have got Kindergarten Cop to.
Fuck.
You should have had Kindergarten Cop. What are you talking about?
That
the greatest
been the
tattoo of all time. Tim, right. I can't. If you veto RoboCop, you're a fucking son of a bitch. I can't do it.
All right.
I feel like...
Tim, I think that's you?
Yeah, Tim, you're at number five.
Okay. I'm going to put in, and Kyle might even want this a little higher, but I'm going with it, Prince of Darkness.
Veto. Got to be higher.
I wasn't going to veto it because it made the top five, and that was fine with me, but... If you, yeah, it's still just
yeah.
Just,
I'm sorry, it's my second veto. That's
this
gotta
was,
be high.
This
sorry,
was really
Tim.
On my list. This was number one and number two, and I was have this in the number one movie that like I,
we all know what the number one movie is gonna be.
Yeah, I couldn't decide between this and the other movie.
Yeah, the other movie. Try again, Tim.
Try again, Tim. Yeah.
Okay, since you now let me put in Prince of Darkness.
It's only out of love, Tim. It's not out of
it is.
Not out of hate.
You didn't do anything wrong.
No.
Just for the hell of it, but for the love of everything, because I know everybody has talked about this. This is a this was lower on my list, but I gotta throw this up here. The Video Dead.
Oh wow.
Oh, David Bowie zombie.
Yes.
I'm letting it stand. I can't veto this. I can't.
No, that's a good one.
I remember seeing this for the first time on, like, Captain USA on, at like, 2 in the afternoon and being like, this movie is cheap as all hell, but I love it. I don't understand. I should hate this movie. It looks bad, but there is something about that movie that...
If we were doing a draft of best VHS covers ever, Video Dead would be number one.
Ooh, you know what? We might have to do that one day.
We might have to do it, well, and take Video Dead out of the run.
Yeah, yes, I was going
to
say, there
we
you go.
We might have to, that sounds like a really good, put
that is actually,
that.
That'd
yeah,
be fun.
That would be. But, I mean, you could talk about, you could put movies on there you don't like, but you love the fucking, I mean.
Oh, yeah, there's so many.
Yeah.
What the fuck? One of my favorite ones, Zombie Lake.
Yeah, one of my favorite ones.
Actor, stupid movie.
My favorite video art of all time is Garden of the Dead, and that movie, was just poop. It's got a great fucking poster though.
Funny thing though, we were talking about tattoos a minute ago. My original tattoo that I wanted to get was the cover of Video Dead, and then I came up with the Maniac Cop thing, and I was like, oh, that's way better. So Video Dead will eventually be on my leg.
You could have get the ACAB on one side and then get Video Dead on the other side, but it's
on the other side.
All,
yeah, no,
all zombies are bastards.
This thing is on the front of my thigh, and this is my this is what I'm gonna tell all of your listeners: never get a tattoo on the front of your thigh. It's the worst thing I've ever had.
Never get it on the inside of your arm. That's the worst.
Oh no, I never had any problem on any arm.
Oh shit, that hurts so bad.
Tim, you have one on the front of your thigh. You said that the other day, right?
What's that?
You have one on the front of your thigh.
No, I thought about it, but no, I haven't gotten it.
It feels like it's just a meaty part of your body. It wouldn't hurt that bad.
It doesn't hurt to get it.
It just sucks after.
It's the, yeah, like I have never had a tattoo hurt this bad, like afterwards. That... None of my tattoos have ever hurt, like getting them. Like that never bothers me. Although I have a giant Crypt Keeper from Demon Knight on my one thigh, and part of it goes under my butt.
Nice.
And that shit hurt like hell.
Oh, dude, I've got shit in my armpit, and that was murder. Just a little bit. It was.
Yeah, I've always heard that hurts.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah, because like my sleeve, and I really wanted the fucking, you know, I've got the Evil Dead sleeve, and I really wanted the fucking car.
Yeah.
And my dude was like, I could get that in your armpit. And I'm like, no, you can't. No, you can't, dude. Sorry. We'll figure out somewhere else to do with the car. But, man, the Video Dead is...
Definitely a good number five.
Definitely. Like, I didn't think it'd make the list anywhere, and I'm happy that it made it at number five. Didn't make my top six, so...
I actually didn't have it. I didn't see it on the list, so...
I have it on mine. I had it sitting at number 16 on my list.
Nice. Cool. All right. Kyle, I think that's you.
Four. You've really fucked my personal list up. I'm
good.
You've kicked Raising Arizona off, and that just That just shit the bed for me, so I'm gonna have to pick one of my outliers. And I feel like nobody's gonna argue with the gate at number four. Everybody loves the gate, and it's
a fucking... I hate Stephen Dorff more than anybody in the fucking world. I think he's the worst actor that ever existed. But he was a little kid then. I love the gate, and I will fucking absolutely not veto that.
I love the movie. I'm vetoing it because it should be lower on the list. It shouldn't be that high.
Oh, you're going to force my hand. Shit.
Yes.
Number four, Tim.
It's number four.
It shouldn't be that high.
You're thinking it should be way back.
Yeah, okay. I have it on my list, and I got it at 15.
Ooh. Oh, God. My list is completely fucked, so this is going to fuck my. It's going to fuck the draft.
I'm out of vetoes, but I'm going to veto that.
I've got to put. I'm sorry, then. You fucked my list up. I got to put Raising Arizona back on there.
Aww.
I got to. Well, I mean, I'll tell you later after the this is over, it's this or some other movies that I think you guys would be like, what the fuck is your problem? And I think with the movies I have left, Raising Arizona is the best pick. So, I mean, Dan, you can veto that. You have a veto.
No, I know. I'm out, too. Me and Tim are both out.
Oh, well, it's on there, then. Raising Arizona rules. Dan, you got number three.
All right, number three. I'm going to go with Silent Night, Deadly Night 2.
I'm just straight vetoing that. I just,
nice, because I wanted you to.
It's yeah, I figured that was where it was going, because we're going to... I think knowing us three, we are going to fight over the number... We're going to fight over what gets in the number one position. So,
no, we're not going to fight. I already know what number one is.
I mean, everybody knows what number one is. So, but yeah, so I just threw that out there because I knew you'd use your last veto, Kyle.
Fucking,
Hellraiser.
You threw the bait out there and
Hellraiser, number three. Shit. Fantastic okay. movie. One of my favorites.
Oh, I'm not going to deny it's a classic movie. That's just that series I just never jumped on board, man, until like I like it when it gets goofy, and arguably part two isn't where it gets goofy. It gets goofy in
no
three.
Part two is as good as part one in my opinion. I mean, you know, it's just a continuation, and then it gets sure. fucking really ridiculous, and they, you know, they fucking go to hell. It's uh-huh. it's great.
There's just something I don't like how it looks. It looks like the most British TV thing ever. But I will give it this, one of the best practical makeups when Frank reforms himself.
Oh, fucking
one
yeah,
of the
man.
Best
yeah.
fucking things that it's ever been in effects history, I think. I mean, that's up there with the thing, for fuck's sakes. Oh,
all right, Tim, you're at number two.
Tim, you're at number two.
Which I will say also, too, greatest Halloween costume of all time, Angel.
Oh, my God.
Last year.
What he did.
That
no,
was
that
pretty
was
stellar.
4 years ago, man.
It was a couple of years ago? Okay.
Four.
Yeah.
It was a long time.
Jolie or whatever is the character from Hellraiser 2.
Oh, no. Yeah, right. She was Jolie from Hellraiser 2.
Yeah,
that's right.
Skinless, dude.
Yeah. It just, I have never seen anyone do something like that. That was bad.
And now that chick does fucking makeup effects for us.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
All the shit that she has done for Tales from the Gross Side, it's, you know. Some of the shit is supposed to be, like, really goofy. Like, you know, the stuff from Sorority Sasquatch, but she makes it look like we know what we're fucking doing.
I had a great pitch for a movie the other day, and I've forgotten it.
Oh, Date Rape Dracula is mentioned in the new movie, by the way. Kyle.
Yes! Finally! I've sold a movie, and Date Rape Dracula got mentioned. I sold Bonobo Cop for $1.
Nice!
Bonobo Cop's gonna be made.
By who?
Tim, who bought Bonobo Cop?
That was Kay and Dan bought
yeah,
that.
They bought now they gotta get a monkey and hope it doesn't eat everybody on set, so I am in
Bonobo Cop and the screenplay for Bioforce Ape all together.
They've made a Karnov movie. I don't see why they couldn't make a Bioforce Ape movie.
Bioforce Ape was a video game.
I know.
Yeah, so was Karnov.
So is Karnov.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah. All right, who's next?
I am in the unenviable task I know damn well the net.
Wait. No.
I got to pick.
Tim's next.
Oh,
yeah,
goodness.
I'm number two.
Okay, you're in the unenviable task.
I'm number two,
I know.
And I can't even pick what I want to pick because it has to be number one, and if it's not number one, this list is wrong, and we just end the podcast.
I don't feel that way at all. I'm happy that these two movies are going to go one and two.
Okay, well...
Either position.
Okay, if it's got to be number two, because it was vetoed, I could throw it back on the list. I'm going to say Prince of Darkness.
Exactly.
Exactly. I think...
That's why it was vetoed, because it's going to have been further down the list.
Okay, because it was number three on mine, so I'm going Prince of Darkness for number two.
Got it.
Absolutely. Yep. I know, it's just like the more we talk about Prince of Darkness... The more I love everybody here, because they get it. Like, if you don't like Prince of Darkness,
there's something wrong with you if you don't like Prince of Darkness. And there's a lot of people who don't like Prince of Darkness, and they don't understand.
I don't get it. It's so smart and so great. It's a possession movie wrapped in a siege movie, wrapped in a science movie, wrapped in a fucking religious horror movie. I don't believe, there's no fucking way I believe the story that John Carpenter was just fucked up on a bunch of drugs and made that up. I don't believe that at all. I think he knew what he was doing. I think he's just that smart. And I don't want to, I don't know. It just is truly, there's no movie like that. There is no movie like Prince of Darkness.
I discovered Prince of Darkness actually a little later than I should have. It was when I was in high school. Because I was a huge Marilyn Manson fan. And he did a cover of Down in the Park. And the beginning of that song is a sample of Prince of Darkness, which is, you know, it's listed in the album cover. And I was like, oh, shit, this is a John Carpenter movie I've never seen. Now, mind you, it's not that late. It was probably like 1996. But
yeah,
I found that movie. And yeah,
I know he came out when I saw him. He was playing. Me and Silent Bryant, we weren't the biggest Marilyn Manson fans, but we loved Helmet. I mean, who doesn't love Helmet? And Helmet, we went and seen open up for Marilyn Manson. We stayed, and Marilyn Manson came, like, they played the whole, you know, we are transmitting from the year 999.
Yep, 999.
And then he came out, and I was like, oh, shit, Prince of Darkness, holy fuck. And
yeah, it's like his favorite fucking movie.
I got to give it to the guy, like, he's a fucking creepo. Now,
yeah,
that dude was amazing live. He had that fucking Alice Cooper shock shit locked down, and his band was amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I'd seen him. I've now seen him at Ozfest a few times, and yeah, every time he really does. His concerts are way better than his actual music.
Yeah, so. For sure. It's like spectacle is better than the actual music.
Right. And I hate to still like the guy. I still do like the guy's music, and I, you know, but, you know, what kind of a fucking complete dickbag he is. Mm-hmm. So that's one of those guys who are like, I got to separate the fucking art from the artist because he's certainly a fucking rapist.
Yeah, I feel the same way about John Kay with Ren and Stimpy. I love Ren and Stimpy, but the guy's a fucking creep.
I mean, go all the way back to fucking Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson, he's a musical legend, but he's a terrible person.
Every fucking family thing we have at my mom's house, they get the Bluetooth speaker hanging in the tree, and they'll be playing some Spotify channel, and no matter how many people's there, eventually it'll land on a Michael Jackson track, and I will just immediately stand up and I'll go, hey, y'all remember when Michael Jackson diddled them kids? And then my whole family will go, oh, he didn't do that. He didn't.
Yes, I'm he like, did.
Yeah, I did.
You certainly did.
I will not let them forget.
Thriller any less of a good song.
Yeah. He also made fucking, yeah. Motherfucker made Thriller. Oh, God. So number one.
So I got about 10 minutes to fucking bastards before my wife is getting mad that I'm not coming down and watching the menu with them. But we all know what number one is.
Evil Dead 2. I mean, it can't not be.
Yes.
Right. Nothing surprising.
Nothing will ever be better than Evil Dead 2.
No. That's the Evil Dead 2 is the measuring stick I hold up all horror movies to. I mean,
yeah.
Has there ever been anything better? I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, it's my favorite movie of all time. Like, it switches
between... My rotating list of my favorite movies of, or favorite horror movies of all time are Evil Dead 2, Suspiria, and Cemetery Man, and they basically rotate depending on when I watch whichever one's the last.
Yeah, like, my rotating top two movies of all time, like, today it's Evil Dead 2, tomorrow it'll be Buckaroo Banzai, and then it'll switch. And, like,
yeah.
It's just so fucking... That movie's almost like a, you can do this, like, how to make a fucking awesome movie with no money.
Yep.
You can't. I mean, Tim, Evil Dead 2. Anything to say other than...
It's just, it's badass. It's awesome. I was glad to find it when I did in the time of my life.
Yeah. It set me on a 5 to 10 year long trek.
I've rented that so many times.
Yeah. It set me on a 10 year almost long journey to find the original, because you weren't getting that on VHS anywhere around here. And then Joe Bob played it one night and I almost died because a bunch of bees stung me. It sucked.
Oh wait, yeah, I know the story.
Yeah. Were there any obvious movies that were left off of this?
Let's see here.
I've got a couple, like the outliers on my list that didn't get picked. The Gate got vetoed.
No, The Gate probably should have been on the list.
Probably.
Yeah, it should have been. It was low on my list.
I got Beverly Dolls. Hills Cop 2.
I was going to say, I had Dolls at number 14 on my list. I had Zombie Death House number 20, Video Violence number 19, Summer Camp Nightmare at 18.
Yes, that should have made the list.
Blood Rage at number 12. Nail Gun Massacre at 7. I even threw the Lost Boys at number 6.
I did not have the Lost Boys on my list.
Yeah, I'm not a huge Lost Boys fan.
I like it enough. It's once every 5 years for me, yeah, with that movie.
I would go with God just said. It's, I don't hate the movie or anything, but it's not one of my favorites. But yeah, Dolls, The Gate. I actually had Ironweed, if you guys have never seen that. Check it out.
Yeah, it's a great movie. It's a Nicholson movie.
Yeah. Basically about the life of Tom Waits, who I believe is in the movie.
Tom Waits in every movie. He's in every movie. I had Beverly Hills Cop 2 because Eddie Murphy, and you're not mentioning him in 1987. You're wrong. I could easily replace that with Raw, which also came out in 1987. I had Disorderlies.
A movie.
Yeah, I had Disorderlies because the Fat Boys rule.
I also had Disorderlies on that was on my alternates list.
Yeah. I had also G.I. Joe the movie, which is, I'm not a big G.I. Joe fan, but that's a fucking good-ass movie. It's got goopy horror elements.
Full Metal Jacket.
Not a big fan of that.
Really? I love that. Okay, well,
it is the,
I love the first hour of that movie.
Yeah.
It's a great movie.
The ending is so weird. It, like, I would have much rather, like... That's really a movie of two halves, and I like one half of it.
Yeah, I like the first half of the movie, but yeah, it's... I still love it, though. And Dudes, I had...
Dudes is a good movie, but it didn't make my list. Dudes is pretty great.
And my alternates that I just kind of put at the bottom were Prom Night 2, Woo. The Kirk, and Hard Ticket to Hawaii.
I've never watched
that. Oh, dude, watch Hard Ticket to Hawaii. It's so good.
Okay.
It's the dumbest thing you'll ever see. It's like it is the epitome of a bad action movie.
Yeah, it's one of those movies that get lumped in with like The Room, and I don't give a shit about The Room. It's just, it just gets stuck in there. It's guilty by association, I guess. Which is it's a terrible opinion on my part, but the only movie I had that was an alternate for me, The Gate. Disorder. I had a movie called North Shore that I used to watch on HBO all the time. It's about a fish out of water kid goes to Hawaii and learns to surf, and it's just a really fucking good ass movie, man. It was one of those movies that was on HBO around the fucking clock much like Buckaroo Banzai and shit like that. It was just on almost every day, and this is just a really good fucking movie. That's our list. Let's go through it real quick. At 18, we have Barfly. 17, Street Trash. 16, Ernest Goes to Camp. 15, The Monster Squad. 14, Bad Taste. 13, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. 12, Nightmare on Elm Street 3. 11, at the honorable Tim Gross pick, Blood Diner. 10, 3 O'Clock High. Number 9, The Kindred. Number 8, The Predator. Number 7, The Running Man. Number 6, RoboCop. Number 5, Video Dead. Number 4, Fuck You Guys, Raising Arizona. Number 3, Hellraiser, Fuck Me. Number 2, Prince of Darkness. Number 1, Evil Dead 2. And that is our definitive list for the best movies that came out in 1987.
Nightmare on Elm Street 3 should have totally been down on number 4 instead of Raising Arizona. But, you know, I didn't understand what the hell was happening until about number 10.
Dude, watch Raising Arizona again. Do you double feature, watch Evil Dead 2, and then watch
Raising
Arizona.
And we've been doing the show for 10 years. We still don't know what the hell
we don't know what's. We don't know what we're doing, man. I've told everyone this podcast is put together with Band-Aids and spit. We barely know what we're doing.
Guys are trying to do another one of these things now that we kind of understand how the fuck to do it.
We are totally doing the VHS one.
It's a lot of fun.
That is soon. You pick the day, Dan. We got to do the VHS one. The cover art. That sounds like fucking fun. With that, there's our list. Does anybody got anything to pimp before we get out of here? Dan, tell the folks where they can get fine out-of-print movies.
You're going to need to come to Cinema Wasteland if you want to see out-of-print Dan next time. And we should have a new movie available from Drunken Ninjas Productions called Pittsburgh, or In Search of Pittsburgh Bigfoot. So... Yeah, hopefully we'll have that done, and we should have Tales from the Gross Side done within the next few months.
Nice.
So that's what I got.
I'm
pimping shit that the guy who owns the podcast.
I'm just curious when Junker and Yinzers are going to get that Pittsburgh Dad documentary off the ground.
Fuck that guy.
No, it's a documentary about you, Tim.
Oh, I was going to say, no one's going to buy it. Don't worry about it.
Somebody actually gave me a really good idea who came to my grandma's house this morning. We should do a Cyril Weck documentary.
Oh, Jesus. He's on every documentary to begin with anytime someone dies.
Who's this?
I know, but no one has done a documentary on him.
He's on, like, every autopsy show and everything else.
Dr. Michael Bodden? Are you talking about here?
Do a documentary about that guy before he dies in like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Who are you talking about?
He was a coroner for Allegheny County here around Pittsburgh.
What's his name?
Cyril Weck.
Okay.
And he was actually one of the coroners brought in after JFK was shot.
Oh, okay.
Like, this dude has been known for many decades and has been, like, he has put his opinion out there on certain big-time, like, autopsies.
Sounds
People
interesting.
People who, like, follow all that true crime shit, like, this is their hero.
Okay. So. If anything sells, it's true crime shit, because...
Exactly.
There's a lot of Midwest housewives out there that eat that shit right up.
But it was great being on the fucking podcast again.
Yes, so. we have to do that one soon.
Please don't wait 10 years to have me back.
I will not. I can't wait for Wasteland. I can't wait to see you guys.
It's because Kyle loves having John Satzer on.
He'll be back next week. I want to hear about John's adventure to Skull Island, goddammit.
Well, that's why you're going to have a show next week with Justin.
Well, do you have a movie picked out for next week, Tim? I do.
I don't, because I'm not going to be on.
Oh, yeah. Well, maybe we're not going to have a show next week then.
Where are you going?
Might be shooting Drain Snake Massacre stuff.
Oh, is that Saturday and Sunday?
Yeah.
Cool with me. All right. I got nothing to pimp. Tim, you got nothing to pimp?
Nope.
With that, goodbye, everybody. Good night.
Right, bye. Good talking to you guys.
Yep. I love you, Out of Print Dan. Enjoy the menu. It's fucking hilarious.
Turn out the lights. the party's over. They say that all good things must end. Call it a night. The party's over. And tomorrow starts the same old thing again.